In Acts chapter number 11, let's begin reading in verse number 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Can I say something there? Is that I don't know why in 2013 that we have gotten the idea in many of our churches today that we need bigger and better and new improved programs and plans. But I believe this, my friend, and I rest upon it, that if a church has the hand of God upon it and the Spirit of God is working, then you'll see people saved. Say amen right there. When we resort to other kind of methods and means and try to do other maneuvers, try to get people saved, it will never come to naught. But notice what the Bible said, and then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with that purpose of heart, for they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And here's what I want you to see. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the presence of God today. Lord, I do pray that you touch this body of this tabernacle of flesh. And Father, I know there's no good thing dwelling within this whole fleshly body. And Father, I pray somehow, some way, the Spirit of God would use the message of God to speak to the hearts of those here today. May this theme be our theme to begin this year, Lord, that to be like you. I pray, Father, we'd have that burning desire within our heart to be like Jesus in everything we try to do. Lord, I pray that your holy name be lifted up. Draw men unto yourself today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Hold your Bible open there to the book of Acts, chapter number 11. The Bible says here that Barnabas stayed at Antioch in verse number 26. He stayed there a whole year. And the Bible said that there he taught many people. It was here that the believers, the believers were first called Christians at Antioch. And the word Christian there is the first time that you'll find that in the New Testament. They were called Christians. Literally, if you look at the Greek, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but if you look at the Greek, what it literally means is that Jesus' people. The word Christian, of course, today we have everything that is called Christian. We say we live in a Christian nation. We say we live in a country that is a God-fearing country, but I'd probably take odds with people that say that. But the word Christian, well, here the Bible said that the believers were first called Christians at Antioch, Jesus' people. Now, you see, the Lord had been resurrected and risen back and gone back to heaven for a good time now. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why gaze ye here? Gaze into the heavens, just this same Jesus which is taken from you shall come in like manner as you've seen him go." The Lord had been away for a good while. Antioch is 300 miles from Jerusalem. But you see here, these people, as these disciples went about doing good and went about teaching the people, they looked at these disciples and they said, "You know, you remind me of somebody else. You remind me of that Jesus person. You remind me of that Jesus that I heard about, or that Jesus that had been other people have talked about. The way in which you carry on, the way in which you talk, the way in which you distinguish yourself, you look, talk, act like Jesus would." And beloved, may I say to you this morning, there ought to be a burning desire in our heart today, not just stamp a label on and say that we are a Christian, but in truly, in word and in deed, we ought to be a Christian. Amen. We ought to be a Jesus person. I mean, we ought to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus 24/7. Can I get an amen on that? Not just on Sunday morning and not just when things are going good, but we ought to be able to say, "I want to be like him
all through life's journey. I had Sister Joanne to play that for you this morning. And I want that to be the burning thought, to be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. Now, I know, my friend, I'll never be like him down here on this earth. I'll never be like him as long as I'm in this fleshly body. But I could strive to be like him in my character. I could strive so that people, when they see me, I want them to see the Lord Jesus inside of me. I want them to see something real in my life. You say, preacher, how can we be like Christ? There are about five things I'll give you this morning if you care to write them down. Number one, I would like to be like Jesus in love. I'd like to love like Jesus loved. In our world today, the word love has been degraded and perverted. Many times today, you'll have people to say, I love you, and they don't really love you. They just love you for what they can get out of you. They have misused the word love. Used it with the word lust. But my friend, the love of Jesus was without discrimination. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad today that God loved the good, but he loved the bad? He loved the sad, he loved the happy. He loved the rich, he loved the poor. Aren't you glad he loved the white, the black, the red, the yellow, and every other face under the sun? Say amen. I'm glad that God loved me so much that he sent Jesus down here in this world to die on a Roman cross, shed his precious blood. He was beaten and rejected. He was scourged for my sin. God so loved me that he was willing to let his son die on an old rugged cross. Jesus loved them that didn't love him. He cried from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm glad to tell you, my friend, that God loves me even when I'm good, even when I'm bad, even when I'm up, even when I'm down. God's love is never ending. It is without discrimination. He loves everybody in this room this morning. There's never been a drunk too bad. There's never been a harlot too wicked. There's never been a good person too good to experience the love of God. Oh, thank God. John 13:1, the Bible said that when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I'm glad to tell you, beloved, that God's love supersedes anything man could ever do. Some of you say, preacher, I know what love is. Love is when a mother looks down into the face of that newborn baby. Love is when those two people stand before a marriage altar and say their I do's. Love is when a parent looks down at that child as he walks across the stage, puts that cap on and turns the tassel. Oh, you say, preacher, I know what love is. No, sir, you don't know what love is. My friend, as a songwriter said, if weak with ink the ocean could fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. May I say that I wish I could love like Jesus loved. I wish I could love like the Lord Jesus. That ought to be a desire of our hearts. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave the best that he had. Would to God today we'd say, preacher, oh, I want to love like Jesus loved. But then second of all this morning, I would like to be like Jesus in humiliation. The Bible said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You realize, beloved, that the Lord Jesus was the creator of all things. How many of you believe today that God created this world and everything in it? Say amen. I believe, my friend, in the creative work of God. I believe that it was in the person of the Lord Jesus, for by him was all things created, and they were created for his good pleasure. The air you breathe, the water you drink, the ground you walk upon, it all was created by a heavenly God. Thank God for that. I didn't evolve from some tadpole. I didn't sprout legs and start walking. This crowd today that believes in evolution, the reason they believe in that is because they don't want to believe in a holy and a righteous God that they'll have to stand before one day and give account for their life. If you believe in evolution, as I've said before, we'd go out yonder and get the bus load together and we'd ride down to Ashboro Zoo We get Miss Bonnie to take us on a little trip down into the zoo. And let's go by the cage where the little monkeys are swinging. And we'd go by the cage. We'd look at all the little monkeys in the cage. We'd wave at them, give them some peanuts. And we'd come back. And then a year later, we'd get back on the bus. Go back down to that cage. Walk down to that zoo. And my friend, if you believe in evolution, you'd see a bunch of little boys swinging in there instead of a bunch of little monkeys. Say amen. But I've got news for you, friend. It's that there was a holy God that created everything around us. He breathed life into us. Thank God. And he, my friend, he was the creator of all things. I would like to be like him in humiliation. The Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, was a man acquainted with grief. He was acquainted with sorrows. My friend, he was a man that knew what it was to walk as the creator of all things, but yet he humbled himself, became obedient unto the cross. The Bible said in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We're living in an age of pride today. You look around, you listen as people talk, and here's what they say: look what I've done, look what I've accomplished, look at the house that I've built, look at the money that I've made, look at the car that I've tried. Friend, I got news for you. If it wasn't for God and the goodness of God, we'd have our back broke in hell this morning. Say amen. It's only to cause God's greatness and God's goodness. He's been good to his people. And it all belongs to him. I wish I could be like him in humiliation. My friend, if there's ever been a time in our country, if there's ever been a need in our hour, it's today for Christians to be humble people. I mean, listen, the Bible still declares, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, not the lost crowd, not the crowd in Washington, D.C., and honey, I got news for you. If you're looking to Washington to help you, you're looking in the wrong direction. I'm glad my hope is not found in the Democrats or the Republicans. It's found in the Lord God Almighty. The Bible said, if my people, which are called by my name, Christians, shall what, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then when I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. You know what we need today? We need a holy hush to fall over this place of humiliation. We need to saturate this altar with the cries and the tears of God's people. And say, oh God, our nation is a broken nation. Oh God, they're trying to fix it, but we're going further and further in the hole. Listen, I know one thing. I know that the Lord's coming back. I know times are getting tough, but I know this, that God can still send a revival. We may never see a national revival like in the days of Moody and Tory and Sankey and Finney, but thank God we can see little pockets. We can see churches like ours get on fire for God, try to reach this lost and dying world. We can see men like this that are going to the jails. We can see ladies like this that are going to jails and tell a lost and dying population, God loves you. We can see that. I would be like Jesus in humiliation number 3. I'd like to be like Jesus in prayer. Oh, listen. I think about some mighty prayer warriors of God. I think about Brother Lee down here. Thank God. Listen, he won't toot his horn, but there's a man that knows how to pray. I think about Brother Jim White. He knows how to pray. Brother Wayne Warren called me last Sunday morning. He didn't know I was sick. Brother Wayne called me and said, preacher, I've done prayed you up. You go in there this morning, you preach. He said, I've done prayed you up. Listen, I'm glad to tell you, I've got some prayer warriors. I'm glad to tell you that there's some folk that'll ring the bell of heaven for you when you need them, amen. Oh, would to God to be like Jesus in prayer. When he said, as he come down off the Mount Transfiguration, the disciples were down there in the valley. There was a man that brought unto them his lunatic child. The disciples, they tried their best. They couldn't cast that demon out. Jesus come down off the mountain and Jesus cast the demon out. And they went over to him. They said, Jesus, we don't understand. Why couldn't we do it? He said, this kind, and I'll put the word power, this kind cometh not but by prayer and fasting. And he said this, listen to me. He said, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds, I mean, listen, about the size of a piece of rice, maybe. So if you have a grain of mustard seed faith, you could say to this mountain, I believe he was talking about that mountain he'd just come off of. He said, you could say to this mountain, if you had that kind of faith, mountain, be thou removed and cast into the ocean, and it would be done. Listen, my friend, there is no limitations with God, for unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all that you ask or think. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I'll show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not. Our problem today is not our problem today is the lack of prayer. Say amen. Jesus knew what it was to agonize in prayer. He went into the garden, fell on his face, and there he began to pray. Oh, listen, most prayer meetings, folks can't wait to get out. I want to find some I can't wait to get in. Say amen. Amen. And Jesus, he prayed for an hour, and great drops of blood came from his face and fell on the ground. And he went back and found his disciples sleeping. Oh, that's where we're at. We're asleep and we ought to be praying. Oh, listen, my friends, I'd like to be like him in prayer. Number four, I'd like to be like him in faith. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I'm glad that there is one in heaven that'll always hear me. Amen. Regardless of where you're at, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what the doctors may say, regardless of what the finance people may say, regardless of what the mortgage people may say, there's a God in heaven who's never forsaken his righteous, never seen the seed begging bread. I'd like to be like him in faith. I'd like to be able to say, Lord, increase my faith. Then I'd like to be like Jesus in my service. The Bible said in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Wouldn't you like to have that on your epitaph when you die? Listen, Brother Wayne Warren preached here on a watch night service. I didn't know it, but he said that he used to sell he used to work for a cemetery outfit and sell grave plots and markers and things. And have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought that on that marker, after going down your cemetery, it'll have the date that you were born and the date you died? And in the middle, there's a dash. That's their entire life. That's their entire life, just a dash. And by the way, my friend, it is just a dash. For man that is born of woman is but of a few days and full of trouble. What? Know you not? What is on tomorrow? For boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Our life is even as a vapor, appears for a little time, vanisheth away. We're here but just for a moment. Born yesterday, living today, die tomorrow. Listen, my friend, we're here just briefly passing through. What will your life be like? I'll be able to say when I come down to the end of the journey, not how much money is. Now, what kind of car he drove? Oh, but would to God to be like him in his service and say, I just want to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. But thank God, last of all, we will be like him when we see him in glory. The Bible said in John 3:2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Brother Don Harrell, he called me a couple times this week to check on me. Brother Don preached last Sunday. Thank God for that man. He's 80 years of age, still going. But I like what he says. He probably said it last week because he says it all the time. He said, I'm 80 years old. I'm going on 33. Amen. You say, how is that, preacher? The Bible said, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, you can argue with me if you want to. You can argue with Brother Don if you want to. But I believe this. Jesus was 33 when he died. When we get to heaven, I don't know what 33 will look like. I know one thing. I had more hair back then, so you know. I know when I was 33, I didn't have no eyeglasses, and I had all my teeth. Say amen right there. Oh, time has made a change. And there's a song that they sing in the cathedrals used to sing it. Oh, Glenn Price's time has made a change. In the old home place, time made a change in me. The one back yonder to the Jessups, I spoke to them this morning. And just the two of them, I looked down, they had three canes. Say amen right there. Yeah. Time's made a change. Time's made a change in a lot of us. Time's making a change day by day. We're wearing out. I hate to tell you this, but we're getting older. Oh, listen, beloved. But I'm going to a city where there is no night, where the saints of God are singing, worthy is the Lamb, where no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no doctors, no cancer, no heart attack, no stroke. Hallelujah to God. I'm headed for the celestial city of God. We'll be like Him in glory. Little blind girl, born blind. One day as she sat at home reading her book in Braille, she read in a magazine in Braille about a famous Scottish doctor who had operated on some blind children and had been able to restore their sight. She said, Mama, do you think that he might be able to help me? She said, I don't know, honey. We don't have any money. She said, Mama, could we write him and ask him? She said, well, of course, honey, we'll write him. And they wrote a letter, sent it over to Scotland. Weeks passed. One day there's a knock come on the door. And when she went to the door and opened the door, she heard this man with a Scottish accent say, Ah, laddie, is your mother at home? She says, I know who you are. You're that doctor that can open blinded eyes. And he come in the house and sit down, talk to the mother. And he said, we'll try. Perform a surgery on your daughter's eyes, see what we can do. I can't guarantee anything. So they went through the operation, and the little girl came out and was all bandaged up. And the doctor said to the mother, Mother, we're going to have to take the bandages off. Every 10 days, we'll take another layer of bandages off. We won't know to the last if the little girl can see or not. First 10 days passed, they took one layer of bandages off. Another 10 days passed, and they took some more off. And that little girl could tell, she could sense some light. She said, Mother, things are getting lighter. And finally the day came. And the doctor came in and he said, well, today's the day. We're going to take the last set of bandages off. I can't make no promises. But we're going to see if your little girl can see. He said, Mother, I'm going to let you take the bandages off. I'm going to let your daughter see her mother for the very first time. I'll step out here in the hallway and wait. Just let me know when you're done. That mother began to unwrap those bandages, and when she took the last bandages off, the little girl opened her eyes. She said, Mother! Mother, I can see. Mother, you're so pretty. And the mother said, come over here, honey. Come to the window. Look at the beautiful sunshine and the green grass. Look at the birds they're singing. She said, no, Mother, I don't want to. She said, why? Come over. You can see. Oh, but Mother, where's the doctor? She said, he's out in the hall. She said, go get him. She said, I want to tell him thank you for giving me my sight. Aren't you glad? Thank God one of these days when this robe of flesh drops, the very first face that we'll see is the one that loved us to be like him all through this journey from earth all the way to glory.